10 years ago, nobody was like, what? What's with deep throating? How do I deep throat? And what's wrong with my gag reflex? Because again, I'm not like canceling your sex life in porn. It's just, this is where all this stuff about porn teaching us behaviors that don't really serve us. This stuff isn't really how we should actually be having sex.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. I'm Dr. Emily, and I'm here to help you prioritize your pleasure and liberate the conversation around sex. Consuming your own ejaculate, well, it's a kink on the rise. Whether it comes from porn or curiosity, a ton of you have asked me about it in the last few years. But that's not the only trending sex topic. From porn to mental health, these are some of the most frequently asked questions we get at Sex with Emily. First, is porn healthy or harmful? Well, it's all about your relationship to it. Next, anxiety and low self-worth can make it more difficult to get turned on with a partner. I offer strategies to one listener for restoring their self-love practice. Finally, eating your own semen, yay or nay? I explain why this is not only a totally normal question, but also a totally acceptable practice. Intentions with Emily. For each episode, I want to start off by setting an intention for the show, and I encourage you all to do the same. My intention is to normalize the sex topics that maybe you feel embarrassed to ask. Trust me, if you're struggling with it or thinking about it, someone else is too. And by the end of this episode, I guarantee you'll feel more confident. Please rate and review Sex with Emily wherever you listen to the show. My new article, When It's Time to Unplug, Plug in a Magic Wand, is up at sexwithemily.com/magicwand. That's sexwithemily.com/magicwand. Check out my YouTube channel, social media, and TikTok. It's all at Sex with Emily for more sex tips and advice. If you want to ask me questions, leave me your questions or message me at sexwithemily.com/askemily or call my hotline 559-TALK-SEX or 559-825-5739. Always include your name, your age, where you live, and how you listen to the show. And it's totally cool to change your name or choose to remain anonymous. Before we get into today's episode, I want to talk to you all about Jeju. Now, you've probably heard me talk about them over the years, and you all know I love Jeju. They're a luxury sex toy company that's been operating for nearly 2 decades. Their toys are just known for their unique low-frequency rumbles. They're really discreet, they're quiet, and they deliver intense orgasms. And you also know that I'm always talking about strengthening your pelvic floor, and not only to prevent pain during sex and the old sneeze and pee, but they can also deepen your orgasms. Well, Jeju has the AMI, and it's a 3-step Kegel training kit that essentially acts as your vagina's personal trainer. It comes with 3 progressive weights, and it's made with incredibly soft, velvety, 100% body-safe silicone for maximum comfort. And this month, you can get 20% off the AMI 3-step Kegel training set and all other Jeju products. You're going to love their products by using the code SEXWITHEMILY at Jeju.com. That's code SEXWITHEMILY for 20% off, which is huge, at Jeju.com, Jeju.com, or by clicking the link in our show notes. All right, everyone, enjoy this episode. Attention, pleasure seekers. What if I told you there was a toy that was so iconic that it practically set the standard for all my favorite products? Allow me to introduce or reintroduce to you the Magic Wand. Dubbed the Cadillac of vibrators, the Magic Wand is more than just a toy. It's a culture icon, a symbol of power and unapologetic pleasure. I mean, do you know any other toys that have been praised in Time magazine? Didn't think so. With a unique rumble that resonates deep within, the Magic Wand Original is not just a product, it's a trusted confidant. And it's a sure thing. Never had an orgasm? Try a magic wand. Never given your party a full body massage? Try the magic wand. Listen, it's rightfully earned accolades like vibrator of the year for decades. I've been so obsessed with my magic wand, I even drilled holes in my bedside table so that she's always next to me in case I need her. Well, that was years ago. Because now there are multiple iterations of the magic wand, allowing you to pick whatever model fits your lifestyle. You can go wireless with the magic wand rechargeable, tiny with the magic wand mini, or micro. Micro is really mini. Or go for variety with the Magic Wand Plush. The best part though, all of them have the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original so popular. So if you're ready to make some magic, visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to cast a spell on the world. Magic Wand, not just a vibrator, an icon of pleasure.
Okay, real talk. We all have embarrassing moments in the bedroom. You know, like gas, bloating, indigestion, and more. And I hear from so many of you with stomach issues, and it's keeping you from the pleasure you so rightly deserve. Well, I got some great news. While studies show that gut issues directly impact our arousal, erections, and overall sexual health, I got a game changer for your overall wellness. Introducing Just Thrive Probiotic. It is my secret weapon for overall health and the fuel for my sex life. Just Thrive Probiotic isn't just any ordinary probiotic. It is a clinically proven game changer, a gut superhero designed to up-level your passion and sex life. So no more embarrassing moments, only a life of gut-powered ecstasy. That sounds good, right? It's the first probiotic formulated with four ancestral survival strains, clinically guaranteed to reach your gut 100% alive. This probiotic is like your personal gut gardener, maintaining the health of your gut by eliminating bad bacteria that causes all those digestive issues and replenishing the good, making it a game changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, and even your mood. With Just Thrive, you'll nourish your gut microbiome, fueling your mind, body, and soul. So say hello to increased libido, enhanced pleasure, and a whole new level of satisfaction. Oh, don't miss my episode, Why Gut Health is Sexy with Tina Anderson, where you can learn more about this groundbreaking company. For a limited time, you can try Just Thrive 100% risk-free by visiting justthrivehealth.com and enter promo code SEXWITHEMILY at checkout to save 20% off on a 90-day bottle of Just Thrive probiotic. So take charge of your gut health, take charge of your sex life, and live your healthiest life yet with Just Thrive. Most of you know I have a blog up on sexwithemily.com, and we've got so many great posts every day that, you know, if you want to read sometimes, you're like, oh, after the podcast, I want to hear more about this. You might find that information on our blog. There's this one post that has been popular week after week, month after month. Anyway, how to eat your own semen is trending. It is popular. I believe that a lot of guys saw it in porn and they want to know, can I eat my own semen? So I thought, hey, if it's trending and it's popular, we got to cover it. So is this something you've thought about? Have you tried it? I thought, why would we just leave it in the words in the blog? Let's bring it to the podcast. On this episode, I also answer an email from Alice in Australia about insecurities in a relationship. Because here's the deal. Relationships are intimate. Relationships can make us insecure. We're gonna all feel vulnerable at some point. In fact, some of our greatest learning happens when we're in a relationship, in relation to somebody else. Because otherwise, we're often not working through stuff. We're not figuring out who we are. We're not figuring out who we are, what we want in a relationship. We learn, even when relationships end, right? It can be so hard going through a breakup. But sometimes we just look back, we're like, okay, what did I learn from that relationship? What did I learn about myself? How do I want to be in my next relationship? What don't I want in my next relationship? So we talk a lot about this in this episode because it's like, I do believe that shame and vulnerability, you know, thanks to Brené Brown in the last few years, she sort of made it a buzzword. I think that these words, trauma and insecurities and vulnerabilities and shame, they're in the zeitgeist right now. But that's because our parents, okay, I won't speak for your parents. I'll speak for my parents. Nobody was saying, well, Emily, tell me how you're feeling today. Oh, that looks like you are upset about something. Do you feel shame that the kids teased you about your shoes at school? Let's talk about that. You know, no, what our parents didn't know. They didn't learn to unpack things. Or maybe we had a family who, when we cried or we were upset, they acted like nothing was happening, right? They act like it wasn't real. Or they discounted your feelings or your thoughts or your emotions and said, oh, just get over it. Buck up. Don't feel these things. So wouldn't it make sense then? We get into a relationship with somebody and we're afraid to be vulnerable. We're afraid to say, sometimes I feel not loved by you, or sometimes I feel like you're going to cheat on me or you're going to leave me, because we don't want to be vulnerable. But then the opposite thing happens. We have this big wall of protection up, and then nobody really gets to know us. We don't get to have a healthy, deeper connection with somebody. So if you've ever been in a relationship with someone like, oh, I date people who are emotionally unavailable, I think I look at people who don't really have a lot of self-awareness around their own behaviors. I mean, there's a lot of different ways to slice this, but people who don't ever look at oh, this was my part in it. Or sometimes I feel this thing makes me sad, or I had a rough day at work. I mean, I remember dating someone for a while, and this was a long, you know, probably my 20s, and I couldn't quite put my finger on why I never felt that connected to him. But what I loved was his confidence. He was successful at work. He had a lot of friends. He knew who he was in the world. And I found that so sexy. But what I also realized is there was never a day when he felt things didn't go his way, or he had a bad call with his family who was living out of town, or it was always like other people's were doing stuff, or he got really into what his friends' problems were, and he never ever looked at himself. There wasn't self-awareness, self-reflection, depth. Now, maybe you're that person. You're like, yeah, I don't want that. Well, then that's fine too. But I believe that in relationships with somebody, whether it's a lover or a friend, when we get comfortable and close with someone, it's when we actually show them who we really are. And that, ironically, is how we sort of learn to deal with our shame and our vulnerabilities, is by shining a light on it. You know, bringing our darkness and the things that we think are our scariest secrets, that, oh God, if I show this to anybody, I'm not lovable, which is actually our greatest fear, is that we're not going to be loved. So it's a practice, like everything. But once you learn to show these sides of yourself, you can even practice with a friend, you realize that A, they're not going to kill you. They're not as bad as you think. And typically somebody else is having that same experience. And the people you most care about will be able to support you and show you love. And they'll be able to hold space for you and be able to help you move through things that are tough for you and their challenges. I mean, I think that's what relationships are about. So we talk a lot about that in this episode. I also take calls and answer questions from our Instagram, which is Sex with Emily, about porn and dating. So I've talked a lot about porn over the years. And the thing I want to say about porn is I am in no way anti-porn. I'm not like, we should ban porn and why is porn available? I do believe that porn has some super healthy uses, right? For one, I like that porn can actually help couples figure out what they like. So for example, you might have this fantasy, or you might be into something kinky, or something different. You're like, oh, well, here's a great scene in porn. I'm going to watch it with my partner. Or maybe it inspires you in some ways. Can also, you know, discover, we can learn to like discover turn-ons, and we can use it to turn ourselves on, turn our partners on. That's what I got the benefits for. But there's also some things with porn that have become problematic, just like anything. Anything that we tend to really enjoy gives us that dopamine rush and all those feel-good hormones, and we tend to rely on, just like food, just like drugs. With porn, we tend to increase our use. We tend to watch more explicit content, and sometimes that can have an impact on us. But there's some new data that's come out, a study that talks about, and this is something that's been tossed around for a while, but now there's some conclusive data that shows that consuming porn can cause some erectile dysfunction with penis owners. I mean, this isn't really a surprise to me, but it does. The study does show that the amount of porn a man watches is linked to worse erectile dysfunction. But the other kicker here, watching porn is also associated with greater dysfunction with normal sex. And the other thing, only 65% of respondents are rating sex with a partner to be more stimulating than porn. Now, I understand these are the people that took a study on porn, right? So I'm going to argue they're the porn enthusiasts who are like, yes, I'll take a study on porn. And so maybe that would make sense why a lot of them are saying, well, yeah, what I'm watching, I do find it more interesting than my partner. Okay, well, here's just the study. I'm going to break this down. It says that men who watched quite a lot of porn, there's a big range of responses in this study, that a lot of men average 70 minutes a week, normally 5 to 15 minutes per time, with some watching little and some watching much, much more. But here's the interesting thing. They found that 23% of men under 35 who responded to the survey had some levels of erectile function while having sex with a partner. And it's higher than they expected. The other thing is these guys said, and this is nothing new, that the more extreme porn that they watch, they have to keep escalating the level of content that they're watching, because they need to keep, you know, thrilling themselves, right? They need to keep getting it more extreme and more intense because they're just not aroused anymore, right? They just kind of become immune to it, but you have to keep raising your level of exposure to it, right? It's like your tolerance, just like with drinking, right? Like if I haven't had a drink for a few weeks, I have one drink, I'm buzzed, right? You have two drinks, you know, then after a few weeks, you're like, oh, two drinks, I'm fine. Same thing with porn. So the interesting thing here is about erectile dysfunction, because what I used to hear was that erectile dysfunction, meaning inability to stay erect, inability to stay aroused with a partner. You have your erection, then you lose your erection. You have your erection, you lose your erection. I used to only hear about that for men pretty much over the age of 40 because testosterone starts to drop, and men in their 50s and 60s. But then all of a sudden, now I'm hearing from men in their 20s, men in their 30s. And I never want to be like, it's because porn, but that's a big factor. It's also because we don't have great sex education. It's also because if we're on an antidepressant or some other medications, that can also have an impact on your ability to stay aroused. But also if you grew up in a place that was severely repressed, right? Like let's say you grew up in a household that was completely like anti-sex, anti-porn, and then you go out and you try to have sex for the first time, that could also cause an erectile dysfunction. So I'm not just saying it's all porn. I believe that the reason why this says that 65% of men say that their porn watching is more exciting than their partner because they don't listen to Sex with Emily. They don't listen to this show. Because my thought is that you only get to that point. The majority of men are only going to get to the point of having to escalate their porn watching with more intense graphic images are the ones that aren't as comfortable communicating with their partner about their needs. And their need just might be, which, by the way, this is what I want every couple, all genders, to have this conversation with their partners. Let's talk about our sex life. We haven't talked about it. I feel like we're doing a lot of the same stuff. And while I love A, B, and C, D about our sex life, these are all the great things. Let's communicate about our sex life more. Communication is lubrication. Let's talk about some things that could be interesting. You could even say, I saw this really hot scene in this porn. Do you want to watch it together? I mean, just that alone could make a difference. But I think what happens is we're like, well, I'm getting kind of bored. I want something else. I certainly can't talk to my partner about it. So I'm just going to keep turning up the knob and watching more extreme levels of porn. And then we put this on our Instagram, which is Sex with Emily. So these are some of your comments. It's good in moderation, especially when it's understood that porn is a fantasy. Depends. I'm a guy that watches it, but I hate the fake moaning. Now listen, a lot of porn is fake. Porn is not an accurate depiction of how you should be having sex. It's like learning to drive by watching Fast and the Furious. You're like, I don't know how to get behind the wheel. You know, no, you know that that is a movie. The problem is with porn, we don't often tell people what's real and what's not, or we don't want to believe it. But I am telling you that so many porn actors, they're not having orgasms. They're cheating towards camera. They're not hitting all the hot spots at all. Like, it's just, it's fake. It's a story that is created to keep you aroused. And most of it is from the male gaze, by men for men. I love this one. This guy said, good, even better when the wife picks the porn. Hotter knowing she likes it too. See? So I'm all down with you all watching with your partner and even by yourself, but just in moderation, but also saying like, what are you into? Someone else said, seems fake. Do people really get that crazy? It is fake. It's just fake. And I think that people are always surprised by that because also not only is it not an accurate depiction of sex, but it allows us to easily not have expectations of our partner. We're like, oh, well, I'm not going to talk to my partner about what I want. I'm just going to keep watching porn so we don't express it with our partners. And then it also can teach us habits like performative sex, right? Like we were talking about performative sex, meaning like loud, like our respondent just said, like what's with all the fake moaning? I believe that porn is directly responsible for a lot of the performative sex that we hear and like the moans. Like I know that a lot of people who grew up on porn, that if you never saw real sex, because actually, where would you see real sex? You would think, well, cue the fake moaning right now. And to me, that whole like, oh, I got to take his whole penis in my mouth. I'm like, like choke on it and make these noises is because we saw that in porn. And I can tell you that I did not hear that years ago. 10 years ago, nobody was like, what's with deep throating? How do I deep throat? And what's wrong with my gag reflex? Because again, I'm not like canceling your sex life in porn. It's just, this is where all this stuff about porn teaching us behaviors that don't really serve us. This stuff isn't really how we should actually be having sex. Like someone else here said, it can be great as long as it doesn't replace couple fun. When I keep thinking about, well, where do you find real sex? I was talking to a friend's son a few months ago, and he's like 17 and he's a super bright kid. And he was like, because a lot of my, I've become the friend that all my friends' kids talk to now about their sex life, which I love. And I told him, and he was, oh, okay. So he was actually having some erectile dysfunction, which again, 18 years old, actually he's 18. And I was explaining to him, like, you know, there's more to learn about sex. Like, you just don't know it all. He's like, but I assumed that, like, if there was more for me to know about sex, I would know. Like, why didn't we learn it in school? Why didn't my parents tell me? And he said, if you're saying this isn't real sex, then where can I go for real sex? And I was like, this is like one of my bucket lists, is like creating some kind of educational, but still hot platform where you can see like real sex, real people having sex, or like some kind of instructional, but not cheesy. Like, this is the right way. And this is like, actually, like, no one cares about your orgasm face and the moaning. And not that moaning isn't important. Like, I think moaning, you know, I think it's great to make noise during sex, but you want it to be like your authentic moan, your authentic voice. And the other thing in porn we don't see is the warm up. Like, the here's the part where there was warm up, or the porn star where she was touching herself, or there was lube. Like, the talk about, there was no anal prep. This is the other thing about like anal sex. You don't see the lube and the warm up and the teasing and the playing outside of the anus before you go right in. They just go right in. So yeah, I think that faking orgasms has been around for a long time. But with porn, it doesn't help. It doesn't do us any good, because you're just like, oh, well, everyone's coming. They're coming at the same time. They're coming in all these weird positions that are not actually like accurate of how we're actually going to come. So those are all the things that impact it. There are some ethical porn. Like, a lot of you ask, and we've got a lot of great information on our website at sexwithemily.com. But there's like Erica Lust. She makes some great like ethical porn. And by ethical porn, I mean porn that is made in like safe conditions with like all different body types, all different genders, all different, you know, all people, all different, you know, body, gender, ethnicities. Like, there's just, you see yourself reflected more than in porn, where porn often also perpetuates this whole, you know, that we're not normal, or we kind of tend to body shame ourselves because we're like, I don't look like the girls in porn. And then so that sets off something. So I don't know. I like some ethical porn. There is a site called TriQuinn, Q-U-I-N-N. And what I love about TriQuinn is that it's essentially audio erotica. And so for a lot of us, like, we just, you know, it's not just visual. Sometimes it's just like listening, and it's really hot to like hear people talk about sex, and there's like dirty talk. In fact, I think it's actually a really cool platform for people who want to like spice up on their dirty talk or know what to say, but it's just hot to listen to. And you can just listen without having to like, oh no, what if someone walks in and I'm watching porn? But to me, that's even a little bit more like, I don't know. I kind of like the idea of like audio erotica. I think it's really cool. I think it's a nice alternative. Because some people just go to the big tube sites. Yeah, someone said, I like it. Sometimes I'll use porn more for the sounds than the actual audio. Totally agree. And then we have an email. This is from Instagram. Her boyfriend watches porn. It's been 3 years. My boyfriend doesn't really have sex with me, but watches porn. Do I break up? I love that. I'm never going to say just blanket break up. Yes, I don't have enough information here. But you should definitely talk about your sex life. But how you would have that conversation is, you wouldn't say, I've noticed that you watch a lot of porn and we don't have sex. Because to tell someone they have to stop watching porn, just leading with that, doesn't work. And in fact, I hear from you guys all the time that you're like, my partner watches too much porn and I need them to stop. And then I also hear from the person who's like, my partner told me to stop watching porn, so I'm hiding in the garage. I think we all know, and we're all the adults, we know that if someone tells us not to do something, it's just not going to work, especially when it's porn, especially when it's something that gives us pleasure. It's just like saying, don't eat those cookies. If you're trying to watch your sugar intake, all you can think about is sugar. Like, how I would have a conversation if you are concerned about your partner's porn watching is I would just say, you know, again, you guys, this is how I want to start all the conversations. I love our sex life, babe, but I feel like we haven't been having a lot of sex lately and I miss it. I miss this. Tell them the things you miss about it. Top three things you miss. And then you could say, what do you think it's about? Curious, you know, and then you start a conversation. And I got this email from Alice, 21, in Australia. I've been dating my partner for 6 months. It's my first real relationship. We were best friends for a year. And then we started a casual relationship. But we're both anxious people. I haven't been able to finish since earlier this year when I thought I had vaginismus, which is pain during penetration. I haven't masturbated either since that time. I haven't been able to finish from intercourse. I've gotten close, but I haven't been able to. It started to stress me out, makes me wonder, is there anything wrong with me? But now when I have sex, I'm constantly thinking about finishing and how I'm not able to finish. We love each other. However, I'm not attracted to myself, so I'm not attracted to him either. I've also had other health issues. It just made me feel less attractive and sexual. Please help. I don't know what to do and I feel hopeless. I want to give Alice a hug. But haven't we all sort of felt that way, that there's something about our bodies we don't love, or we're so in our heads thinking about the orgasm that isn't happening? And as a result of that, we don't orgasm. I mean, she told me four times in this email that she hasn't been able to. Four times, just now. I was like, she hasn't been able to. Have you? Alice, tell me, have you been able to orgasm? No, four times. No orgasm. And that's because, you guys, it's like, think of it this way. If you're spending, well, first, there's so much to unpack here. First off, if we don't love or even like, or I'm even going to say accept our bodies, accept it, like not hate it. How can we expect anybody else to love our bodies, to love us? I mean, of course they do. I'm not saying your partner doesn't love you, but it's a lot harder for them to show up and be present if we're walking around hating ourselves. And a result of not hating ourselves is self-sabotage, even if it's just negative thoughts. So Alice is walking around all day going, I'm not happy with myself. I don't like the way I look. I don't like all these things. And then she gets in bed and says, I'm not going to orgasm. This isn't going to happen. And then she doesn't have an orgasm. So it's like she's constantly setting herself up throughout the week, throughout the day, for not being sexually successful. And if you think about it, it's like, think about it like a sports, like you're training for sports. It's like saying, oh, Emily, I went out to run a marathon and I couldn't finish. And the last week, I haven't gone for a run in a month. I hurt my leg. I hate running. You know what I mean? But I couldn't run the marathon. It's like, if we don't do all the steps for success, we're not going to succeed at it. So the first thing is what she's saying is it's like this body acceptance, right? I mean, one of the first steps is recognizing it, which I love that you're 21 years old, Alice, and you're like, you nailed it all here. You feel hopeless and you have other health issues and you don't love you're not attracted to yourself. I mean, that is a beautiful way of putting it. You know, there's things I've talked about, like body exposure exercises, when you actually go in front of like a mirror and you start to get, you know, used to how you look and actually celebrating it, or even just like kind of looking and saying, oh, this is pretty amazing the way my body moves. And I would recommend for you, Alice, too, to take a mirror. And you haven't masturbated, right? So I'm going to give you a project, because also it's like not training for the marathon. We got to masturbate. We got to get our own pilot light lit, get the engine running. So like take a mirror and take a look. Maybe you haven't done this at 21. I didn't do it until I was 31, but take a mirror and kind of look. And look at your vulva, which is the outside of your vagina. Look at your labia. Look at your clitoris, how when you start to touch it, it starts to kind of swell. And, you know, when we get aroused, you know, it starts to change. You could just look at it and get curious. Like, okay, I'm just going to look. And I think what you'll find is that, oh, it's pretty freaking awesome. Like, look at my body. I want to, you know, I feel like for so many women, like if I had a bunch of vaginas up on the wall, vulvas up on the wall, like, could you pick yours out of a lineup? I mean, I want you to be able to be like, that is mine. That's my vulva. I want that. Like, that is me. I own it. It's part of us, right? So it's like this, doing these little exercises. And I do think just saying like, I'm going to masturbate more. I'm going to get to know myself again, because I think we forget. We have like this amnesia about our sex life that it feels good and then it's good for us. And so the first step is making yourself healthy, Alice, and repairing the relationship with your body and your orgasm is the first step towards repairing the relationship with your partner. Now, I'm not saying this is exclusive, mutually exclusive. You, of course, could say, like, let's do some mutual masturbation. Or you could even share with your partner that I don't know what kind of partner you have, but you could say, I feel like I've really been in my head. And for many people, like, focusing on connected sex, staring into each other's eyes, doing some, like, dirty talk or tying each other up. You know, when we bring in elements that are, like, a little kinkier, like bondage or discipline or dirty talk even, those are elements that, think of it this way, like, when you have something else to focus on, like, oh, we're doing a role play. Oh, we're tying each other up. You're not in your head. And you can get just turned on by that alone. I think that's why a lot of us really love alternative kinds of sex play, because we're outside of our heads, right? I mean, if you are in your head during sex, just think of it this way. The more we're thinking, the blood is leaving your genitals, which is, we need blood flow to be aroused and have orgasms and be sexually aroused, the first part. The orgasm, awesome. But if we're constantly thinking, and believe me, I've been there. I've had the thoughts. I've had the negative thoughts. I've had that I'm not going to orgasm. I was saying, like, yeah, I used to just be having sex with a partner and I'd be looking at the clock going, like, this is certainly taking me too long. I should already have orgasmed by now. What is wrong with me? Could I orgasm? Oh, how did that girl fake it in porn? I'll fake my orgasm. And it's like, I didn't know that it takes a while, that I didn't know anything about communicating to my partner. I didn't know about pleasing myself. So that's what I want to impart to you. If you could just maybe not beat yourself up and decide that I'm going to make it, you know, I'm going to add to my self-love and self-care routine, like body positive affirmations, things that you love about yourself. Masturbation is the greatest form of self-love. Before we take a quick break, I want to tell you about one of our partners that has been a go-to in my masturbation routine, the Magic Wand, specifically the Magic Wand Original. It's the original wand-style massager that plugs directly into the wall, so you don't have to worry about any Bluetooth hookups or batteries that need to be charged, and it's incredibly powerful. Especially if you haven't been able to orgasm in a while, the Magic Wand makes it that much easier to get there, because even if you're stressed or a million thoughts going through your head, the Magic Wand will deliver every time. The Magic Wand is also great for couples play, so you can use it with your partner to bring you closer to orgasm during partnered sex, which is a game changer. And like I mentioned at the beginning of the episode, we have a brand new article with Magic Wand that you can check out in our show notes. All right, what you've been waiting for, stick around. We're going to talk about eating your own semen. It's all happening. We'll be right back. I've had tens of thousands of questions. But there's one interesting question really filling up our inbox all the time. And in fact, my team pulled out like seven of them in front of me to talk to you about. And I thought it's so interesting because I don't remember being asked this topic. I don't think no one asked me it probably up until the last like year or so. So I figured, why not share it with you and see what you think? So the question is whether or not men can eat their own semen. Now, I did answer Q&A on our website at sexwithemily.com answering it. And so now when I searched it to see, well, where does it rank on Google? Like, how many people are asking this? And it was like, it was funny because it was like Pornhub, 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 Sex with Emily, like Ask Emily. And there was like Pornhub, you know, porn. So I'm thinking that it's because of the rise in porn consumption that people are like, guys are like, oh, huh, maybe I'll try it. This is from Sean at 19 in Ohio. Hey, Dr. Emily, I've been masturbating since I was 15, but for the last 2 years, I've thought about eating my own cum, but I don't have the strength or confidence to do it. I've tried all kinds of acts to eating it. The first time I tried was in the middle of the night when I was in my bedroom. I took all my clothes off, including my shirt, shorts, and my underwear. Crawled into my bed naked and was already feeling turned on. I used a little bit of lube, started playing with myself, and I put my legs in the air over my head. I closed my eyes, but did not have the confidence to open my mouth. And as I came, I had cum on my own face. I tried again the same way, but the second time I was looking at pictures of naked women on my phone for inspiration, but that didn't work either. I don't have the confidence to open my mouth. So please, if you give me some advice and how to get confident with this, I'd be most thankful. Thanks. His was the most descriptive. He's really, you can tell that he's so driven, Sean, and he just can't quite pull the trigger. And this is a common theme from a lot of you. How do I do it? Should I do it? Is it okay? And I'm going to read you another one. This is from Eddie, 37 in Canada. Love your show, and it's really helped me explore and be comfortable with myself sexually and really helped me talk things through with my wife, and we're currently having our best sex ever, even after kids. Besides other fantasies, I have a cum-eating kink. I don't even usually call it cum, but for this sake, I'm going to read you this verbatim. I say ejaculate, so we all are on the same page. But semen. I don't talk about it that much. I've shared with my wife. She's a little grossed out as she hates the taste herself. I've eaten my own after masturbating, even straight into my mouth after watching videos. I really want to clean out my wife after sex, but she won't let me as she says, once she's gone and done, I can't touch her down there. How can I get her comfortable with me licking it out of her and having multiple O's? Also, I'm starting to have my curious thoughts about tasting it from another source, but that can wait till another show. Thanks, Eddie. Then we have Steven 51 on Instagram. Is it unhealthy to eat my semen? Joseph 42 in Colombia. I read a lot about the health benefits. They seem legit. Could you verify this? Then we've got Chris 35 in Missouri. I'm 35. I've had a fantasy about going down to my wife and tasting it. It goes on and on and on. So let's talk about it, right? We've never talked about it on the show. So the first thing is people want to know, is this crazy? Am I normal? What do you think? Is this something that like, oh, am I going to kill me? What's going to happen? So first off, you have to know that the most normal thing about sex is that you all want to know if you're normal. So really, like statistically speaking, I can say like, okay, so this is a normal question, statistically speaking, because I get asked it a lot. It's also completely acceptable. And in fact, you know, not every guy wants this, but if you do, nothing wrong with you. Also, people want to know, is it safe? Absolutely. It is safe to eat it. If it's safe for your partner to eat it, you can eat it too. Now, the other thing is the only reason why it's not safe is you have to, as always, watch out for STIs. So if there's an STI, if you just had sex with your partner and she, you know, maybe you're with whoever you're with and it could transfer to you. So that's when we have to be careful, because if you ingest it, if you ingest the semen, then you could become infected. But let's say you're not infected. Like, let's say you're not. So to answer, I can go by this. What are the other questions people ask me? Can you change the taste of it? I mean, here's the thing about this. You are what you eat. And so I know this, that if you are smoking cigarettes and you are eating a really unhealthy diet, a lot of greasy, fatty foods, and you know all the things that you know, you're taking a lot of medication, it is going to have an impact on your semen. Just like if you eat asparagus and you can smell that, right, in your urine, it's the same kind of thing. Now, it's not that if you just eat a pineapple tonight, tomorrow it's going to be better. This is an ongoing, you know, you want to, you know, just change to a healthier diet. Include like vegetables and lots of greens and fruits and stuff. So that's also important, what you eat. And a lot of you call in, like, okay, I have a list here. Celery, parsley, wheatgrass, cinnamon, pineapple, papaya, oranges. But that's not just, again, it's not like a one-time fix or one-time thing. But I think overall having a healthy diet is super important, especially for our sexual functioning. And so we can just answer Sean's question about like, well, how do I do it? I mean, I'm not a guy, but I can tell you this, that you could just ejaculate in your hand. You could put it in something and then lick it from there. I'm just thinking like, just taste it. I mean, just it's there. It comes out in your hand. Lick it off your hand. See what it goes. See how it tastes. I think it's very sweet that he's trying to get his positioning right where his legs are tossed over his head and he's trying to taste it. You know, and I think also all of our ejaculate sex gets such a bad rap. It's like everything is gross or messy. If a woman, you know, squirts or a guy comes and all they're told about their semen probably is like, oh, it tastes bad, or I have to do, you know, it's, there's a lot of shame around it. And I think that if they've never tasted it, they assume that it's like this terrible tasting thing, or maybe they have a partner that told them that. I think it's part of it. And also clearly we don't hear about it that much, because I'm telling you, I didn't get this question. We searched all of our email. I did not get this question. So I want to know, is this important? You can even just tell me. I'm curious because I haven't, that's not the porn that I'm watching. But I have to think that so many things, like even the rise in anal sex, which was not a question 12 years ago, is because of porn. So I'm thinking that this is the new porn darling, is men wanting to taste themselves. And the truth is, you guys, it's not bad. I don't know. I've just been someone who's, if you're with it, like, sex is messy. It doesn't maybe always, it doesn't go the way you want it. Or maybe it's not everything that you know, that you want to taste or you want to. But that's just part of sex. And I don't think it's, I never had a problem with semen, to be honest. It was never my enemy. This was actually when one of my first shows, I remember. Maybe it was like show 4 or 5. My friend came on and he was, my friend Ed, I'll never forget this. This was early on. And he was like, do you spit or swallow? And I said, swallow. I was like, I didn't even know there was an option. Like, I think I just thought to give a good blowjob, you will swallow. And he's like, that's so you, like, you know, A student, whatever. And he's like, but he's like, I feel that it's so intimate that if someone did that and it was just like the first time I was with them or something, that it feels very personal. And I don't know if I would want that with every blowjob. And I thought that was interesting. So I did it. And so I just, like, you know, you just swallow. I mean, I never was, what were you going to go spit, get up to the bathroom? And it never bothered me. I never got sick from it. I mean, you can be allergic to it, but it's very rare. You know, Amber, thank you, Amber. I need to hear 44 in Ohio. Tell me about comment on men eating their own ejaculate. Tell me everything you know.
Hey, Dr. Emily.
Hi.
So my husband has always eaten his own when he's masturbating. And he told me very early on, I have no problem with it. He says it's easier cleanup, you know?
That is true. That is one of the benefits. You don't have to, you just kind of lick it up, fall asleep. You don't have to get up and walk. Right. Yeah. Did you ever
exactly.
see him do it? Have you ever been there when he does it? Or he just like gives
yes.
you the highlights?
We've done mutual masturbation and he's done it then. I have no issue with it. I think a lot of men feel ashamed of it, that they think that maybe people will think they're gay because they want to taste cum or something like that. But to me, it's no problem. And I think a lot of other women may feel the same.
I agree with you, Amber. I think that we do. And I think that, I think you're right. Why would we be upset? Although we said that here that this, you know, his wife didn't want him to. Eddie.
Right.
She's not comfortable. And sometimes I think it's because maybe women think that we don't taste good after that. Like if they go down on us and they come inside of us, then if he goes down on me afterwards or, you know, her, his wife, that she's like, no. Or maybe she's got shame in him. Like, oh, that makes you gay. We have all these things, you guys. A sex act does not make you gay. It's about who you're having sex with. But anyway, thank you, Amber. Yeah.
But I
you're
wanted
cool.
to thank you because you've opened up a lot of conversations.
I'm so glad, Amber. That makes me happy. Thank you.
We started using a lot more toys. We got some prostate like plugs. And we've started using those and a cock ring because we were having some trouble with premature ejaculation.
Oh, okay.
But we're working on that and the cock ring's helping and just different toys to take his mind off of coming too quickly.
That's great.
So, and
Amber.
Thank you.
Of course. It makes me so happy. It's so good to talk to you. Keep trying new things, right? We get so stuck in our ways sexually, but like spice it up, right? I mean, how long have you guys been together?
17 years.
Okay, right. Good. Amber, that's awesome. Congratulations. I love hearing about couples who've been together and they're like, I'm going to step it up. We're going to try something different. Keep it interesting.
Exactly.
Yay.
And tasting your own cum could be something totally different, right?
Hey. thank you, Amber. So awesome to hear from you.
No problem.
Okay, be safe, Amber. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Of course.
Bye.
Thank you. I think we got to get back to Eddie. He wants to know how he gets his wife comfortable with me licking it out of her after having, you know, multiple orgasms. And again, I think it's just like all the things I tell you about. How do you get your partner comfortable with anything is actually having a neutral conversation outside the bedroom, not saying like, why won't you let me do that? I just, you know, I want to taste it. But just saying, what is it about that? I'm curious. I know that we've talked about it and I've been wanting to do that. What is it about it that makes you not comfortable? And then you start to get your answers. If she's like, oh, well, I feel like it's bad for you or it's not sanitary, you know, then you could say, well, I heard Dr. Emily say it's actually not if we don't have STDs. Or maybe she feels like she doesn't feel sanitary down there and tell her you're fine and she's fine. You remember that the vagina is a self-cleaning oven. That's what it cleans itself. So there's all these, you know, we have natural acidic levels. We're good. So we don't have to worry about that. Oh, the other thing is the health benefits. So here's the thing. There are some health benefits. Studies have shown that there are like mood enhancing qualities to it. It can help with your skin. It can help with depression. It can help with, but let me tell you this, you're going to have to ingest a lot of semen. You're going to have to be like collecting it for it actually to have that kind of impact. I don't know how you'd collect that much, but you could. But this is all inconclusive studies. But however, what if it does? What if you try it? That's a benefit. Great. But I don't think that's why we're doing it. I think it's more of a something that we just thought, why not? I'm having my partner taste it. Why don't I taste it? Maybe turn yourself on. It's all fine here at Sex with Emily. Let's talk to Mike 63 in Wyoming. Hi, Mike. Thanks for calling. What's going on?
You're welcome. I was trying to interfere. My introduction to it was with my wife of 42 years. After she gave me a blowjob one time, that she come up and just kissed me with it still in her mouth. And that's how I was introduced to it. And up until that time, I just thought it was taboo, too, for a man, you know.
Right.
But I come to find out it doesn't taste bad at all. It's usually a little bit salty.
Exactly. Gets a bad rap. But, it really does get a bad rap, Mike.
Yeah, totally. I was born giving it one. But up until that time, and this happened about 25 years ago. So, and this happened several times since then.
Okay, and you were fine with it. Yeah, a little bit hot, right? Something a little different.
Yes. Yeah, it was, you know. I guess you call it a pleasant surprise.
Exactly. You don't know what's going to happen next. 42 years, you know. Who knows? I know. I love it, Mike.
You're right.
Okay. Which is a good thing. Keep you on your toes. Thank you, Mike. Thanks for your call. Appreciate you. That's it for today's episode. See you on Friday. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. Be sure to like, subscribe, and give us a review wherever you listen to the podcast and share this with a friend or partner. You can find me on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Sex with Emily. Oh, I've been told I give really good email. So sign up at sexwithemily.com. And while you're there, check out my free guides and articles for more ways to prioritize your pleasure. If you'd like to ask me about your sex life, dating, or relationships, call my hotline, 559-TALK-SEX. That's 559-825-5739. Or go to sexwithemily.com/askemily. Special thanks to Acast for powering the Sex with Emily podcast. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.